Okay, we're glad to have you back with us for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, John Embry from Sprott Asset Management. My next guest thinks that the world might be on the precipice of an interest rate meltdown. Mr. John Embry is an industry expert in precious metals at Sprott Asset Management. He's studied the gold sector for several decades now. Welcome back, John Embry.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to be back.
The president met with major U.S. government financial regulatory agencies this week, and the last time that that happened, some financial fireworks. It's a bit euphemistic. Maybe even government losing control of the bond market and the unwinding of interest rate-sensitive derivatives. I wonder if you could tell us, please, more about this idea that the president's meeting could be signaling that the U.S. government is, well, maybe on track for some difficult times and maybe even our economy.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You alluded to the last time that Barack Obama had a meeting with some financial heads. And that, in that case, was the heads of the 15 largest banking entities in the U.S. And within a day and a half, the gold price was smashed for over $200 in two trading sessions. I didn't think it related to that this time. I think that the issue now has to be the bond market. I mean, this rise in U.S. rates in the 10 years, it's almost doubled from the bottom now, the rates. And given sort of the leverage in the system, I mean, the one thing the system I don't believe can stand is, you know, much higher rates. And this is even amplified by the fact that there's a massive number of interest rate related derivatives in the world banking system, but particularly in a number of the too big to fail banks in the U.S. And when you have those, that kind of leverage that's imparted by derivatives, and you've got interest rates moving radically, some people are going to benefit by being, you know, long or, you know, one side of the trade. The other people are going to be crushed being on the other side of the trade. And I just think that this leads to a degree of a risk in the system, which I don't think is appreciated enough by a lot of people.
If we look at how our economy is hostage to rates, everything from mortgages, car loans, student loans, debt, credit cards, with about $1 trillion still outstanding, many folks saying the student loan debt is a time bomb. So just the hint of higher rates should be enough, I think, to put all Americans on edge.
Excellent point, but I think there's a lot of aspects to it. I mean, some people would say rates are higher because the economy's better. I dispute that. I don't think the economy's appreciably better. Other people say that the higher rates are a result of this conversation, constant conversation about the taper and the Fed sort of removing the punch bowl to some extent, not buying $85 billion worth of paper a month. But I think it may relate as much to the fact that the foreigners appear to have had it with U.S. debt. And for the last month, was, you know, they actually cashed $40 billion in, I think. And without, I think there's just insufficient buyers for the paper. And so I think that may be the main reason for the, you know, the rate rise.
You know, there was a lot of speculation for several years that the Fed was artificially, even behind the scenes, working with banks such as J.P. Morgan to hold rates low by using extremely sophisticated derivatives such as credit default swaps, which gave them or lent them huge leverage, allowing them to hold rates low without the need for quite as much QE and related stimulus. Do you have any thoughts on that? And do you think that they're going to allow rates to move higher, or is this just out of their hands at this time?
My greatest fear is that, you know, they were able to buy 5 years after the onset of the first global financial crisis by their QE and by their interest rate manipulation. And I do believe that they were heavily, I mean, you can do an awful lot with derivatives, and that's why the derivative pool never shrank. In fact, it probably even grew. They just redefined, you know, what notional value was. And I think we may be, why I'm so concerned is I think we may be at the end of the rope, that they fired most of the bullets and now they're kind of out of ammo. And if that's the case and rates can't be controlled going forward, then I think we have a major problem on our hands, not just in the United States, globally.
The ECB, the Bank of England, Bank of Japan, and Bank of China, huge influence on the markets, especially in toto. They seem to, at least at their latest meetings, didn't really offer too much guidance that they were going to, you know, stop their stimulus ways and allow rates to move higher. I mean, and don't you think that it would take more than just the U.S. Fed to allow rates to move higher? I mean, and wouldn't it take the coordinated efforts of our global central banks?
Well, I think that's true. Like, I mean, I'm of the camp that believes that nobody wants to induce the pain that is going to be attendant to severe austerity. Nobody wants to sort of trigger that. So consequently, we're going to see, they'll be saying one thing to try to, you know, make the public feel better. But they will create as much money as required to try to keep rates under control and to keep the financial system intact. My greatest concern, if that's the path they go down, and it would certainly appear to be the more likely one, is that ultimately this will lead in some sort of a currency destruction and possibly hyperinflation. And I mean, I have said many times, and I will say it one more time, I think the most corrosive thing that can happen to a society is to experience a hyperinflation. And I would rather see a debt deflation before something like that.
You know, it's so interesting you would say that, because I had way back in my undergraduate and some of my graduate classes, a professor who grew up in Europe during the great hyperinflation.
Experienced the Weimar in Germany.
He did experience Weimar. Of course, he was very young at the time, and he claimed there was another inflation that occurred after Weimar. And he said the main banks there in Europe are quite familiar with inflation, and it is their primary fear. The Federal Reserve's stated goal is to defend the dollar. And unfortunately, if we look at their track record over the last 100 years, I'm not sure that they should be patting themselves on the back here.
Well, I mean, they haven't lived up to that, man. However, I mean, I think the last thing I looked at, I mean, a U.S. dollar 100 years ago, today would buy 2 cents or 1 cent worth of goods. So the idea that they were defending the value of the dollar is actually preposterous. But now they've got themselves in a bind that, I mean, it's either going to be the currency or the financial system. You can't do both.
The store of wealth, gold demand, according to media sources here, coins, bars, jewelry, leaped over 50%, over 1,000 tons, in the second quarter of this year. That's the most since 2008, you know, the last nadir, bull market reaction in 2008. It appears that consumers, they appreciate these discounted prices.
You know, it's interesting. It's a small group of consumers with passion that feel this way. I think the vast majority of people do not have any gold or silver in their portfolios, and I believe that that is a serious mistake. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell them they should have 50%. I think if they had 20%, for example, that would probably offer a significant amount of protection if some of my more worst scenarios came to pass. And the very fact that I think the average exposure to portfolios and all gold and silver exposure would be comfortably under 1%. Several times in the past, when gold and silver were necessary in portfolios, I mean, it got to 5 to 10%. And think about it. I mean, the amount of gold and silver isn't going to rise by to any extent. So the only way that could happen is by price. So to me, it would seem that it would be a very wise thing for people to have some gold and silver in their portfolios immediately. And if I'm correct, I suspect that this will be seen in retrospect as probably the single best buying opportunity in the whole bull market, which is now in its 13th year.
Less than 10% of Americans have any substantial investment in precious metals other than basic jewelry. And what I find interesting about this, if we look at the Census Bureau's numbers, 80% of Americans at some time grapple with unemployment or poverty. Half the country is either at the poverty level or approaching the poverty levels. Now, these are not pie-in-the-sky numbers. These are actual official numbers.
Yeah, I actually saw those numbers, Chris, and I was astounded at how bad they were.
With those types of numbers, you know, there certainly is lots of room for people to start thinking about some type of precious metals. And a quarter of Americans do not have one penny, not dollar, but penny in savings. Half of Americans have less than $800 in their savings. This is another official number. So I think that people are expecting the government to come to their aid. Did we learn nothing from Katrina? You know, from that disaster, their response, let's just say, was lackluster. And I certainly wouldn't want to find myself in a position where I was dependent on government assistance. Any comments?
That is an excellent comment. You know, I mean, I feel very badly for the public. Like, I think they've been misserved by their leaders. And I think a lot of the statistics you just quoted are absolutely correct, and the people have no savings. So, I mean, how can they buy gold and silver to protect themselves? They have nothing theoretically to protect. My greater thought is for those people who do have assets and do not have any gold and silver protection, I think they're making a mistake, because I think the governments are going to have to maintain the entitlement programs just to keep these other people from sort of becoming unruly. And in so doing, they're going to further debase the currency. So if you've got assets, you'd better protect them. And one good way to do it is owning some gold and silver and gold and silver shares.
It's another great point, because when we look at the government food-related programs, many people point to the $48 million on food stamps. But, you know, that's only half of the story, because there actually is over 100 million people on food assistance when we include school-related. We're looking at roughly 105, so you're talking more, once again, than one-third of the nation requiring food assistance. If these programs did not exist, we would see food lines and bread lines that would, frankly, astound those who lived through the Great Depression.
Well, I'm afraid you're right. And the fact is that there's not enough good jobs anymore. I mean, basically, North America, the Western world for that matter, farmed out the manufacturing job, shall we say, to China and other, you know, low-wage countries. And as a result, we've basically reduced high-paying jobs dramatically, and a lot of the jobs that are being created, as you know now, are part-time jobs. They don't pay much, and so a job isn't a job. Like, if you lose a manufacturing job, you're making $25 an hour or something, and you get a job at working at McDonald's or at Walmart or something, you're making a quarter or a third of that. It's totally different, and it's a huge problem to which, there, to me, there's no easy answer.
Shifting back to the precious metals markets, you know, the central banks have added 535 tons to reserves. That's last year, the most in nearly 50 years. There's talk from the World Gold Council that we're looking at 350 tons will be purchased this year. Hardly sounds like the activity one would expect during a bear market. If this was truly a bear market, they would be dishoarding their stockpile. Any comments?
It's not a bear market. I mean, it's been a bear market created by the paper gold people for the express purpose of keeping people away from gold. It isn't working, because the primary central bank buyers are in the East, you know, India, Russia, China, etc., etc. And I believe that the vaults in the Western central banks, I think a lot of gold is being clandestinely leased and what have you. And this is a finite life, and there will be an explosion in price driven by physical shortages, and I think that's coming sooner rather than later.
No, I think you're right. We're starting to see signs of that. There's interesting developments in the futures contracts, backwardation.
Oh, that GOFO rate's, I think, very interesting, the rate over in London, that it's now more expensive to borrow gold than money, which it always used to be cost more to borrow money. And that just shows an enormous shortage, I think, of physical product in the, available.
James Turk concurs with your sentiments. He actually mentioned on the show last week here in his work, the only time he's seen a similar occurrence, well, the only two times, were back in 2000, where everyone remembers 250-odd dollar gold, and then in 2008, where gold dipped down just temporarily before more than doubling, almost trebling, in price.
And more importantly, this time, Chris, it's gone on for over a month. Those previous two times, it just went on for several days. It suggests an ever even greater shortage. Now, I'm extremely enthusiastic about the gold price as we move into the fall season. I think summer's been relatively quiet because there's not a lot of people playing, so you can control the price more easily in the paper market. I think when everybody sort of gets back to work with the onset of fall, I think it could be an extremely good period for gold and silver, and most particularly the shares, which are undervalued.
That's a good point. And, you know, seasonally, we are entering a much more favorable period. You know, we have the Diwali Indian festival and wedding festival period coming up, if memory serves. We have, of course, Christmas and Hanukkah and related holidays here in the United States and around the world. India, you know, they have three tax duty increases.
They're absolutely panic-stricken about trying to restrict their citizens from buying gold. So, I mean, it's just led to massive amounts of smuggling and everything because it's almost in the Indian DNA. Gold's a great thing.
And the rupee just in a free fall. It's terrified officials. And, of course, they cannot curtail energy, which is really their number one import, because, you know, that's the lifeblood, if you will, of the economy. So they, in turn, have decided to target gold. And as you say, I just read another report this afternoon that smuggling into India is enormous, which suggests that the official figures, import figures, may be bogus.
Well, I think they're understated. And one thing, even though they were trying to restrict gold for quite some time going into the country, silver exports exploded. I mean, the public wants, the people in the East, I think, have a greater appreciation of precious metals because they've seen their currencies kicked around more than we have over here. And as a result, I mean, you can't stop an idea whose time has come. And I think gold and silver's time has come.
At about 130, 140 years since the last major currency crisis here in North America. Very few people remember the last currency crisis during the American Civil War. It was quite substantial here in the South. And if you talk to folks here, many still are holding on to Confederate dollars and bills. And they remember the stories of their family, which ultimately became worthless almost overnight. And even the North experienced substantial inflation, not hyperinflation, but substantial inflation. We just haven't seen anything like that here. And I think when a couple of generations, two or three generations pass, people seem to lose familiarity with it. And I think that may be why we're facing it now. Any thoughts?
Well, I think that's very well said. I think that the worst thing that could possibly happen to the United States, and I think it's a growing probability that it will, and that is that the U.S. dollar loses its reserve currency status, because I believe there's moves afoot amongst other countries, particularly China, to sort of underwrite that, basically. And I mean, as some politician, called it an exorbitant privilege to have the reserve currency status. So if the U.S. were to lose that, I think it would have a very negative impact on their currency and, by extension, on their living standards.
No, I think it's well said. I mean, I think U.S. dollar is losing hegemony. And when we look at the ramifications, as you say, this is quite significant. We're seeing trade agreements between China, Iran, Russia, China, a mad rush, if you will, I think, to establish alternative reserve currency. I don't know if this is just hearsay, but I continue to read reports, maybe one every week or two, suggesting that China and Russia's official import numbers have been artificially suppressed. Both governments are hoarding huge stockpiles, as Mr. Putin is quite well known for his fear of the West. Of course, China appears to be preparing for an alternative reserve currency, perhaps even a gold-backed yuan.
I totally agree with you. You know, I was just making the comment at lunch with a person I was having lunch with that, you know, in a certain way, the Cold War is coming back. And it's more like, rather than a weapon-driven Cold War, it's more like a currency Cold War. And I think that the Chinese and the Russians in particular have a different agenda than the Americans do. And this could be very interesting because they're the ones that are accumulating all the gold. And it's leaving the West in droves. So it's going to be an interesting period coming up, and it could be very disruptive.
Any other topics that we've missed today?
As bullish as I am on gold, I think the opportunity for the greatest appreciation remains in silver. I think that the shortages of silver will become, particularly when gold gets more expensive and a lot of smaller buyers can't afford it, they will move to silver as their sort of precious metal of choice. It's a much smaller market. And a great deal of the new mine supply goes to industrial usage. So I think in that event, if gold were to double in price, I think silver could probably quadruple in that environment.
I think you're right. And I think that estimate may even be low if, for instance, a major corporation decides to stockpile silver, because I think as it becomes more of a strategic resource, industrial resource, you know, many of these wise corporations who have an army of analysts will start to warn their CEOs and CFOs that this is an absolutely essential resource. GE, GM, you know, any one of these companies, we've seen them corner palladium for catalytic converters, and silver being, as you say, such a tight market. Let's say George Soros, John Paulson, Kyle Bass, or one of these large money managers says, you know, gold has a lot of room here to the upside. Let's increase our exposure to precious metals and diversify into some silver.
There's no question. I think that is absolutely in the cards. I mean, historically, the gold-silver ratio, which is currently just declined from about 67 to 1 to just around 60 to 1, has gotten as low as 15 to 1. So if you think that if we get into a real raging bull market for these monetary metals, then I think there's a very good chance that that kind of ratio could come to the fore, which would suggest four times as much appreciation in silver to get to that 15-to-1 ratio over the next few years. So, yeah, I'm really bullish in silver.
Would you like to share any contact information?
Yeah, basically, you can come to www.sprott.com, and there's a lot of really interesting information on our website. There's a lot of interesting guys in here with some good thoughts. So I would encourage people to do that.
Well, as always, thanks so much for taking time. I know that you are very busy today, but you made time for us, and it's appreciated.
It's absolutely my pleasure, Chris. Anytime.